comes about, whatever you got to face, whoo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No, come on, Frank. Get your Bibles out. And go to the book of 2 Corinthians. I think we'll start in chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to deal with chapter 3 and chapter 4 tonight. I got some things that I feel like the Lord was speaking to me and about. You know, the Holy Ghost is in charge of the church. I'm talking about the church, you know, the church. When I say the church, I'm talking about this church. I'm talking about the church. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the Holy Ghost, although he's in charge of the church, and he has a very difficult job of trying to get people to do what he wants them to do, because people aren't always doing what God wants them to do, right? So he's got a difficult task of trying to get churches going the right direction and whatever. But if you listen to what the Spirit of God's saying, and you get around people that you can trust, men and women of God you can trust, and you start listening to them, then you can start, you know, you hear a common theme that the Holy Spirit's trying to speak and trying to say. And, you know, that different preachers will say it differently or whatever. Different churches may be doing something different, you know, in a little different light or whatever. But God's always, he's got a plan. He's trying to get it out there. And I was visiting with Sister Annie yesterday, talking with her. And by the way, I believe if all things work out right, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, she'll be with us here. So those of you that have never met Sister Annie, you'll be extremely blessed. You need to be here. If you have met her, you'll still come and you'll still be blessed. But anyway, I was visiting her and we were talking about the church. We're talking about the church all over. We're talking about what we see going on in Mexico, what we see going on, you know, in their area down South Texas, and, you know, what's going on and what, you know, we see taking place. And I just really feel, and she was saying the same thing and confirming this, that God is really trying to stir a new birth in the church, like, you know, trying to get people to wake up and open up their eyes. And then I saw somebody wrote a book. I caught it on the radio and advertised. I don't even remember who it was. And it said something about the sleeping church in America. And I was just thinking, just keep hearing this thing, just recurring, different people saying different people. You know, some people are real strong over here and some of this, but it's a common thought that over the body of Christ, the Holy Ghost is trying to get us to wake up as the body of Christ, all of us. And so I was reading through 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 4 here. I've got something here I'm going to read through this, so y'all bear with me when we're reading through this. But it says, I'm going to start verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some other epistles of condemnation to you, letters of condemnation from you? For you are epistles written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you're an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. So Paul is saying here, you got to understand something. Let me take you a little history. The church at Corinth, if you remember in chapter 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, he went through all the gifts of the Spirit, but he also, with the love chapter, comes up in chapter 13. So he was trying to talk to this church, and if you go and you study it all out, the church at Corinth was like the wildest church on the block, okay? People were flowing in the gifts, but every wild and crazy thing was taking place in church, and some of it was flesh, and Paul was trying to get that calmed down, and he's saying, well, it'd be better for him to climb up the walls and, you know, to be dead on the floor. And so he's letting it go, but he's trying to bring some structure to what's going on in the chaos. And he says, look, guys, I want to paraphrase. I want to give you a South Texas paraphrase of this verse here. He says, look, guys, you're the example of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life to everybody who's looking at you. Right? You're the epistle, he says, You're our epistle written in our own hearts, but read by all men. So in other words, Paul's saying, look, I've been preaching to you, and I've been teaching you, and I've been telling you the word of God, and you're the living epistle. You're the living letter. You're the living example of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life to all the people that you come in contact with. He said, it's not a tablet of stone. It's not the Ten Commandments where it's just cold and hard and callous and written and says, this is what it says. Do not, do not, do not, do not. It's the living, breathing person of you. The reason why I knew I was on the right track with this is the man came to tune the pianos. And so he was tuning the pianos and this one, and he came out to our house, and I was in my office, and I'd been doing some things, and I was forgot something out the house, and so I went back out to the house, and so then I sat down, and I was just kind of praying and chilling out and laying there, and actually I was working up towards maybe a nap, you know, and I'd kind of kick back in my chair, and I was just kind of talking to the Lord, and it's going on, you know, and then I also catch something out of the corner of my eye. You know, nobody can just walk up to my house, and this guy's just right there at the door. I was like, you know, do I shoot you, or, you know, what was, he didn't look very intimidating. And so I went to the door, and he said, the piano tuner. He'd tuned here, and he told Laura, and Laura didn't know I was at the house, and so he just drove out there. And so I said, go on. And about that time, Sister Annie called. So I was talking to Sister Annie, and so I walked in the office, and he was tuning the piano. You know, have you ever had a piano tuned in your house? Right? One of the more irritating things that can ever take place in life. Okay, you know, so you can imagine, ding, 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 bing, 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 you know, bing, bing, bing. It's pretty irritating, you know. And so, you know, I mean, I'm not wanting to listen to this, but, you know, it's 100 degrees outside either, so there's air conditioning in the house. And so, you know, I'm kind of thinking, man, Lord, I can't believe this. And so I guess I'm not going to get my nap, nor, you know, have much conversation with you. And so anyway, I go in there, and I ask the guy, I said, you know, you need anything? You need some water? I'm trying to be hospitable. And he's... So he stopped tuning, and he says, I got to ask you a question. He said, I tuned the piano over the church, and I happened to notice that you had a book, the book on the Holy Ghost, sitting on your pulpit. And he said, I started reading it. I couldn't put it down, and I should have been through an hour ago, but I read that book. And I said, really? And he says, isn't all that true? I was like, no, I just wrote a false teaching to go out over them, see if I couldn't deceive some people. So anyway, he'd only been a Christian for about 3 years. And he was hungry for the things of God and hungry for the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. And he was going to a church that didn't teach much on the Holy Spirit. And so the point was, is right there in my own home, if I would have handled it any situation any differently than this man, than the way I would have, my epistle that was being read by man would have been ruining a soul that I didn't, if I was just walking down the street, I'd never looked at the guy and said, oh, that guy looks like he needs some help. You follow what I'm saying? It really kind of, I mean, it came to my house. Wasn't like it was just out on the street, it came to my house, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, I had to sit down and visit with him, and I had other things to do, and I was in a hurry, and I just said, this is it, this is God, shut up, forget about everything else. This is what you have to do, is talk to this man. Okay. So then I started reading, I started reading this, and I was like, okay, Lord, you're really trying to hammer this message home to me. Because it's like, let's just read on here. It says, it's not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on the tables of flesh, that is of our heart. Okay, so by the Spirit, so it's by the Holy Spirit, right? Go verse 4. And we have such things trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not in letter, but the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So in other words, he's talking about that our relationship with the Holy Spirit, or our relationship with anything of God, that the Holy Spirit is birthing that in us, and as he births the revelation and the relationship of God in us, births, that's a hard word for me to say tonight. The word in us, right? then it changes us. It should change us to where it's God writing upon us. Are you following me? Now think about this. You know when you find a cult and everybody's kind of strange and you look at the pictures of everybody that was in the cult and they all look kind of strange? Well, they look like the leader. Right? Because they became a part of that leader. They let him speak into them and he wrote on their hearts because they received it in their hearts and his spirit got on them and then that's what the people became to look like. He's saying the way it's supposed to work in church is you go and by the letter of the Spirit through the things that are going on through people, through the word, the preaching, everything that's going on, that the Holy Spirit then becomes to come inside of you and he begins to birth life in you and write in you so that when you walk out the doors, you are the living, breathing neon sign for Jesus. Am I right? Now think about this. You're going to start a business. And you're going to die for the business and leave it up to 12 guys that have just messed everything in the world up. 11, one went and hung himself. And you're going to leave it up to 11 guys to get something right that hadn't got nothing right yet. Are y'all with me here? You thinking, you following this thought? They hadn't got anything right yet. And you've died on a cross out there so that these guys can get it right, so that they can get a church started, so the Holy Spirit can begin to talk to the gathering of people that have gathered together and minister to them so that those people then can represent Jesus on earth. What a risky move. Are y'all with me? But then think about something. If you owned a restaurant and your focus of your restaurant was the greatest food in the world or whatever, then you really wouldn't have to do much advertising because everybody that you got to come into the restaurant and eat, then they would just want to come back and they would tell somebody, oh my gosh, have y'all eaten at that restaurant? Oh, they've got the greatest enchiladas, or they've got the, wow, they got that, right? You become the spokesperson for that restaurant, right? So isn't this the same kind of a thing? Except he's saying, no, I want you to come and I want you to receive so much from the Holy Spirit at church that it bursts on the inside of you life so that when you walk out to the world, somebody say, why are you like you are? And he said, well, because I go and I gather with a group of believers and we come to a certain place and this is what the Holy Spirit's teaching us and God's been teaching me and we've been growing and it's Jesus in my life and blah, 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 blah. Okay, let's go on. Let's just read 4 again, verse 4. We have such trust through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who's made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation of glory, the ministry of righteousness, sees much more in glory. So he's saying Moses had to put a veil over his face, not because everybody was seeing his face glow, but because he was seeing the glory fading. So this man I was talking to yesterday began to proceed and tell me how many people in the church that he just was having a struggle with church because leaders were falling. And this guy had an affair, and this guy done this. And I said, man, brother, you got to get your eyes off man. You got to get your eyes on Jesus and run your race. The Bible says that we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and we run our race and get our eyes off of men, because if your eyes are on men, then you're going to look at them, and then you're trying to be let man write on your heart, not the Holy Ghost on your heart, and so then therefore you're going to be disappointed, and you can't do that. And he was like, well, yeah, you know, you're right, but it's just really difficult when... I said, man, listen, people are human, but just because they err doesn't mean you have to err. So set your sights. Be faithful, be consistent, and don't quit. I'm telling you, Jesus is right. So then he began to tell me a story. He said, yeah, I've been an atheist all my life until recently got saved. I said, I got to ask you a question. How? What was it? What happened? What was it that did it? He said, well, I'll tell you what it was. He said, I had a mother that never quit praying for me. I said, well, so what did that have to do with anything? He said, one day I got to the lowest point in my life and I just knew where to cry out to because she'd always talked to God. He said, I'd cursed God all my life. I said, well, then you really want an atheist because atheist doesn't even believe there's a God, so you were more like an agnostic. And he said, well, I don't know what you call me, but I just didn't want to have anything to do with God. And then one day I just said, God, you got to help me through a bad situation I'm going through. And God did, and he saw God was real. He saw God was real. He saw God was real. And when he saw God was real, it changed his life. It wasn't that everything was, you know, promised to him. It wasn't, the fellowship of the brothers. It wasn't everybody was sweet. No. He saw God was real. But it was his mother praying for him. The prayers of the righteous avail much. Amen? Okay. So the ministry of death that was engraved on stones, okay, it was killing everybody. It was fading away, right? He says, man, if that was glorious at that point, imagine what it's like to have Christ in you beaming out to the world that your glory is not fading. Folks, I'm just telling you, we always have to watch ourselves that we have to be renewed in the Spirit all the time because if our glory begins to fade, people see it. And if people see it, you're not a witness. Verse 12, therefore, since you have such hope, we use great boldness in speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the end that was passing away. Here, verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until the day that the same veil remained until the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. In other words, their minds got blinded because when they started to see it going down, the people quit. They got their minds blinded because it caused a stumbling block to be in front of them. Remember preaching Sunday about the lies and about lies that come into people's minds and the lies in their thoughts. And when the lie gets in there and gets sowed in your mind, well, then you believe the lie. When you go and believe the lie, well, then that's the non-truth. And if you believe the non-truth, then you can't walk in faith because you're not in faith. You have no faith basis because you have doubt in you. Y'all with me? Why? Because the enemy's trying to blind their mind. So you got to understand something. The Holy Spirit's trying to work in you so that you can change to be more like Christ, so that you can be the living, breathing epistle, living, breathing neon sign of Jesus to the world. But the enemy knows it, and so he's trying everything he can do to dim your light. Right? Okay. Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we are all with unveiled faces, behold as a mirror the glory of the Lord, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we're supposed to look into the Word of God, and as we look into the Word of God, it's like looking into a mirror that it begins to come into us, and we see ourselves of where we're lacking or where we're doing good. Hello? And then that we see that changes us from glory to glory. You're moving from glory to glory. I found some old pictures back, early ministry times down in Mexico in a church, and I was praying for this lady, man. You know, I can't believe it was me. You know, I was looking at myself. I was like, man, dude, you weren't even thinking about gray hair then. There's a picture of Dwayne Hillis in there that you would have thought that I'd have taken my child with me. I mean, I just sat mesmerized. I said, that is Dwayne. Oh, my goodness gracious. Looked like he was 12. You know, one time, though, Dwayne did go with me one time to the detention center, and they wouldn't let him in because they thought that he wasn't 18. I'd brought a youth with me. I said, the guy's got a wife and kids. Open up the gate. What are you talking about? Not him. Yeah, you were. You were like, you were 27 and they wouldn't let him in. Didn't think he was 18. Anyway. Go to chapter 4. Now look at this. Verse 1, therefore. So then therefore is a continuation of chapter 3. Y'all with me? So therefore is the summing up of what he was talking about. Since we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we do not lose heart. Wait a minute. Since we have this ministry, do you realize that you growing in Christ is a ministry? That you growing in Christ and being the witness for Christ and letting Jesus work in you, and if you could just get to the place in life where you throw yourself down and say, Lord, if you can just work in me, if you can do anything with me, Lord, take me. And then he begins to work in you because now you finally got out of the way. Hello? And now he's working in you. That's your ministry. So when you're looking around saying, Lord, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to go do for you? He's like, look in the mirror. Ministry number one is you. The Holy Spirit working in you so that you can be the biggest neon sign for Jesus you can possibly be. Verse 2 says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled from those that are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves bondservants for Jesus' sakes. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the devil is continuing to try to get hold of your head, man. It's in your mind. He's trying to keep you from being and letting the Holy Spirit work in you so that then you can be that, fulfill your ministry, which the ministry number one in your life is you. The best way, if you want to say, well, Lord, that's going to be pleasing, is for you to have faith in God that he's working in you and changing you. For you to read the word and allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. Because if he works in you and does it all on you, then everything else is going to line up because you're just walking in the ministry. Now, verse 7. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure? The Spirit of God living on the inside of us, working these things out. That the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. He said, man, listen, it's got to be God. If it's within our own strength or our own ability or our own great persuasive speech, then it's not God. Now, verse 8, we don't like these verses, but they're in there. We are hard pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak. We've got to come to the place in life where we quit saying, God, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what, you know, I'm just not ever going to make it. I don't know how I can't get this down. And come to the place in life where we begin to speak, Lord, today I'm going to fulfill my ministry. I'm going to fulfill my ministry that you call me to because I'm just going to get out of the way and let you work in me. I was talking to a man the other day and I asked him when he got saved and we were talking about salvation. He said, well, I'll tell you what really transformed my life is when I got hold of a course that taught scripture memorization. And I set it about myself to memorize as many scriptures as I could in a year and really get them committed to memory. And he said, that year I memorized and could quote and confess and had it down 68 scriptures that any moment I knew them, every one of them. And he says, but when the 68 scriptures got inside of me, they began to change me. And I was never the same again. What happened? He got the Holy Ghost on the inside of him through the Word of God. And then the ministry just began to work. And he's working thinking he's memorizing Scripture because he really wants to memorize Scriptures. But the really thing's happening is the Word's taking effect in him. And God's doing a work in him until all of a sudden his whole life changed, everything in the world changed. How important is it to speak what we believe? Well, listen to me. If you're believing bad, then just tape your mouth shut. Right? It'd be better for you to struck mute than to speak the negative out of your mouth. You've got to, what you believe, speak. God, I thank you that you're working in me. Oh, Lord, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Lord, we're facing some battles today, but I declare that though I be pushed on and shoved on you, I'm not going to be crushed. Lord, I just think you're with me today. You're working this thing out. I don't know how it's going to work out. You're working it all out. Lord, you're just going before me. You said you'd go before me and make all the crooked paths straight. So, Lord, I just think you're going to do it. You got to speak it. You got to speak it out of your mouth so that you can hear it with your ears so that the Holy Spirit can start to change the rottenness that's gotten in our brains. He goes on and he says, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound in the glory of God. Verse 16, therefore do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen, they're eternal. That was one of the scriptures I really got in my heart years ago, and I began to look at things and say, you know what? What I see is temporal. And if it's temporal, then it makes it subject to change. If it's of this world, you know, and affecting me in this world, then it's subject to change. So if I'm broke today, there's a subject to change that I could be blessed tomorrow. Right? If I lost here, I could be blessed over here. Or if, you know, sick, I am going to get well or whatever. It's subject to change. Right? But the things of God, they're not subject to change. They're eternal. His word stands forever. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Jesus said, one thing you can be sure of, there's not one little bit of the word that's not going to come to pass. We're not going to get to heaven. Have y'all ever done this? I don't know if it's a male thing or an age thing. I can walk into a store knowing there's three things to get, or thinking there's three things to get the three things, get in the truck, drive off, and then I think, why didn't I get that? I needed that. Is that an age thing or is that a male thing? Both. Ladies, y'all don't ever do that. Y'all always going, y'all do it too, huh? So then it's not a male thing. I mean, I can get it. I can get a list down and go in there and get everything on the list. And I'm not halfway down the road till I think, well, I got to have this. What's the matter with me? Why didn't I pick that up? Like every day I could go shop and pick something up. It was the thing I needed yesterday. And then the day I got that, it's what I forgot that I had to go back tomorrow to get the thing that was for today. It does not make good sense. I hate it. When I leave the store, I know there's something I forgot. I mean, like I had to buy the whole store and just take it with me if I was going to make it. Are y'all with me? But the things that are seen, they're all temporal. They're subject to change. It's the things that aren't seen. It's that you can't see with your natural eye. It's the things of the Spirit of God. It's the word that you're memorizing and speaking and confessing and what you're saying out of your mouth and the faith you're stirring that you can't really see its effect. But then all of a sudden, boom, one day there it is. You can say, you can get up and say, well, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Oh, but I feel so small. Y'all with me? You may start out that way. But then one day you say, well, greater is he that's in me and he that's in this world. And you're going around with me, Lord. And whatever's going to happen today is going to happen. So, see, it's starting to take effect in you. Now you're believing it. Now you're not worried. Now you're not concerned. Something's happening. Something's changing. It's not arrogance. It's not obstinance. Are you all with me? Have you ever been around somebody that's just trying to, they're telling you what, that they really believe it, but you know they don't believe it, and they just keep trying to tell you over and over that they really do believe it, but you know they don't believe it. Hello? And you know they don't believe it because they just keep telling you that they do believe it. And you can say, something doesn't sound right in this conversation. Hello? Quit looking at the things that are temporal because they're subject to change. Speak to them. You have a ministry for the Holy Ghost to be working on the inside of you. Speak to the things that are in your way that are keeping you from being a better minister. Speak to them. Tell them what the Word says. Dwell on the eternal things. And then as you do, each and every one of us become like brighter lights. We're like lights on rheostat switches. You know what a rheostat switch is? You know, you can turn it down, you can dim the light, or you can turn it up. And as you start to let the Holy Spirit work on the inside of you, it gets brighter, it gets brighter, it gets brighter. And then you become a church that's so bright, everybody's got to say, man, there's such a light over there. I don't know what it is, but let's go over there and see what's going on. Right? People want to come because they see that there's something real and there's something changing in y'all, and they want something real to happen to them, and then when they see the real happen to them, boom, they're changed. Right? Speak to it. I believe one of the greatest problems that the church has is that we've just prayed and asked God to do it when God wants us to speak to it. It's a religious teaching that's gotten us off so far because we just don't speak to it. We pray and say, God, would you help and do this? Instead of saying, Jesus gave me authority to tell you to get out of the way. You're in my way, get out of my way. Right? Jesus said, say unto the mountains, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And it'll be done. But you got to say something to it. We always want to pray and ask God to do it. And God said, I'm not doing it. I already did it. Did it all through Jesus and gave you the authority. You speak to it in my name. You speak to it using the word. You speak to the things using the eternal things against the things that are temporal and watch them change. But if you won't speak doubt and unbelief and all the stuff out of your mouth, then you're going to have just what you want. You know, the people that when something goes wrong, they say nothing ever goes right. And I said, well, you got just what you wanted. You say it all the time. Nothing's ever going to go right. Something's going to go wrong. It went wrong. Yeah, you did it. You called it right into existence. Way to go, bud. I've got some friends, good friends, and they're just stacking negative things I've ever seen in life. And I just go in there and just mess them all up. I said, well, y'all can believe that if you want to, but your garbage just ain't going to get on me. I said, man, I'm going to overcome. I don't know. I'm more than a conqueror, man. I'm going to see. I'm going to go over the top of this thing. I'm not worried about that. That's no big deal. And it just infuriates them, you know. I said, you guys are negative. You got just what you want. So every time something goes wrong, I call them up. You know, say, hey, how did it work for you? You doing good over there, huh? I just pester them about it. I had a good one of those today. I got to laugh at them. Just laughed. I just rolled and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. You say, well, Pastor, you're terrible. But, you know, they give me a hard time. So I give it back. They think I'm crazy, but, you know, I'm happy. All right? Look at the person beside you and say, you got a ministry. It's you. Amen? Well, praise God. I will pray. I will speak. I will pray in tongues. I will do whatever. I will do whatever. But I ain't going to say nothing to nobody. When I want to gripe and complain and point and fingers and just let it rip because that's what I'm really feeling like that day, I just shut up. I just won't talk. At least I don't want to advance the kingdom of hell. It's a good lesson for us all to learn. Okay? Because if I don't want to, if I can't advance heaven, I don't want to advance hell. I stay away from people. I don't go places in public. If I'm like that, because I may slip. I don't want to slip. I don't want to lead anybody down that path. I just shut up. Don't say nothing. Folks, listen to me. Being quiet can be a virtue. Because the enemy wants to deceive us. He wants to use us to be like those people. And we've gotten off the track and we've gotten on the other side. And now we're throwing obstacles at the Christian that's trying to walk and causing them problems. And we didn't even realize what we're doing. Now, the third thing about the enemy. The third thing is that fear is his throne. Think about this. If anything in your life you are in fear of, somewhere the enemy has sowed something in your life to bring you to that place. I'm not saying we should start petting snakes. All right? I'm not saying we're going there and talking about that kind of fear. I'm talking about in your life, if you can't go out in public because you feel like you're not worthy, well, then the enemy sowed that doubt in you. He sowed a lie to you that's causing that to happen, and you're operating in fear. You've got to destroy that place of fear. You've got to destroy that seed that has been sown in you that is not of heaven. Are you with me? You hearing what I'm saying? If you're operating in fear, oh God, we're not going to make it this month. Well, then you don't believe what Matthew 6 says, that God said he'd take care of you. Well, then, see, there's an order to everything in the kingdom. You say, well, I don't know if God's going to take care of me. I didn't pay my tithe this month. Well, obviously you've got something wrong with your financial thinking. Get it in order so you don't have to be that way. I said, well, I don't want to, I'm scared. I don't want to go talk to God because I'm scared he's going to be mad at me. Well, then repent before you go talk to him. He said he'd forgive you. See, get things in order. And when you've got things in order, you can have confidence towards God. Folks, I'm to the place in my life, and I'm not saying this like, oh, look at me, because I got lots of issues and things I'm working on, but there's some realms that God's given me some real insight on. If I pray over certain things and it doesn't happen, then I'm praying, I know right off the bat it's wrong. Because every time I pray when I'm right, I see it happen fairly quick. And it usually doesn't make any difference what it is. If I need somebody to call me on the phone, I'll pray and they'll call. Or if I'm trying to get something, somebody's supposed to be sending me something and it's not happening, and I call them and say, hey, you know, I'm not getting something, you know, and it's not happening, I'll just start praying about it. I say, Lord, okay, listen, there's a deal out there. This, whatever this needs to get into my hands, and they said it was going to get into my hands right now, and I just commit this to you. I put it in your hands. Lord, you're going to make this happen. You're going to bring it to pass. It'll be on your timetable, but I'm just going to take confidence right now. It's going to take place. You're going to do it. Just a few minutes, phone will ring. Somebody say, hey, were you supposed to have a package delivered? Wish I'd have done this earlier. But I'm just telling you, there's an order to the kingdom. And the devil wants you to walk in because fear is his throne. So he wants you to walk in fear because fear is the opposite of faith. That's his whole root. So if you've got an area of your life that there's fear in, then he's trying to keep you from being productive in the church and at your life. And he's going to try to stop that and shut that down. And you've got to root it out. Listen to me. If I had it, if I had the pixie dust that I could throw all over y'all and everybody didn't have any problems and everything was great, I'd do it, but I don't. All I got's the word, which is plenty enough for you to start applying to your life. Don't listen. Don't live in fear. Fear's of the devil. One of the mottos and one of the things of my life is I ain't going to speak fear. I'm not going to speak fear because I just know the fear's of the enemy. I ain't going to speak fear. Oh, I've got some real issues and some real concerns about the future and the things of America and where we're going and all that, but I ain't going to speak fear about it. My God, man, supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I got stories in the Bible where water comes out of a rock. We got plenty of rock around here. Yeah, I got stories where they ate a gourd that was poison and then they just poured some salt into it and it all fed everybody. We can find an old gourd around here. I mean, are we going to be Bible-believing Christians or are we going to say, oh, well, that was in the old days and things didn't want to happen on this? I don't know. Me. Man, it's either true or it's not. Either God did it or he didn't. I like the story where they're all out. The little kids are out teasing Elisha about being bald-headed and she-bear came out and ate him. Watch it. It happened. If I was like preaching in Alaska, man, that would be my story. That would be my sermon. Since we're pretty far from she bears, I. Of course, it could have been a woman. Could have been their mother. Never mind. I'm alone. Fear is his throne. Any place in your life you're in fear, you're not in faith, you've got a seed of the devil in you, get it out. If you speak fear out of your mouth, you're an agent from hell. I said it. That changes things, doesn't it? You're an agent from hell. Just to say that, it sounds horrible. Right? I mean, if husbands and wives, y'all keep reminding each other, so when y'all are sitting there blabbering this stuff and said, oh, are you enjoying being an agent from hell? I mean, that'll wake you up on it. It's like, what? We'll start singing the song, Secret Agent Man, Secret Agent Man. If you've never heard that song, you're too young. Okay, so what is our answer? What's our answer? James chapter 4, verse 6. Gives us our answer. 6 and 7. He said he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. It's called resisting. How do you resist? You know, how do you resist? Right? No matter what it is, how do you resist? You say no. Is that not the way you resist? No. That's how you resist. You tell the devil no. You say, listen, I don't believe in that. Wait a minute. When you catch yourself and you say, wait a minute. What am I saying? What am I thinking here? You're just trying to make me an agent from hell. No, I don't believe that. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says this, or the Word of God says that. Then you have resisted the devil, and then he has to flee. So, yeah, but he comes back. Well, if you bust his ears enough time, he'll quit in that area. I want it to be that, you know, and this is scriptural. When the sons of Sceva went to cast the devil out, the demons said to them, they said, Paul we know, or Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? So they were known, Paul and Jesus were known in hell. I want to be known in hell. I wanted to know that the devil that gets assigned to me that day to try to sow something in me knows that he's coming up against me. I want him to know that when he comes up against me, I am going to do everything I can to hurt him and resist him, and I want him to know it's not going to be an easy job. There are mornings that I have to wake up and just say, listen, hey, you want a piece of me? I'm telling you, I'm here. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to hurt you. Say, Pastor, you're crazy. I am. It's the way you win. I've had to come walk in the church, you know, and just get up behind the pulpit here and turn around and say, I ain't leaving. You want a piece of me? I'm here forever. I'll stay here. I'll die behind this pulpit preaching the Word of God. Because you have to fight the enemy. You have to resist the enemy. And then I'll find somebody to go do something good for. Because I know he just hates it. He just hates it. The devil hates it. I'll call somebody up and start encouraging. I'll say, I'll go over my whole phone today. I'll call everybody in my phone. I have 648 people listening on my deal. I'll call every one of them and give them an encouraging word. If you don't shut up, leave me alone. Oh, by the way, I'm not making a bargain with you. I'm going to do it anyway. Are y'all with me? See, you got to fight. You got to fight dirty. I don't want to compromise. I don't want to parlay and compromise with the devil. So I'm telling you, I'm going to hurt you if you're going to go mess around with me. You have to resist. That's all you have to do is resist. Get some fight in you. Resist. You want to say something ugly to your wife because she did something you're not happy with? And you stop and think, listen, I don't want to be an agent from hell. So I need to find, what does the Word say about this situation? Go find the Word. Go over there and get her and say, I want to tell you something. I'll give you something encouraging today. Give her an encouraging word. Speak good things. Say, hey, there. How about that? But I don't want to do that, Pastor. I want to fight. Well, go ahead. Be agents from hell, and what are you going to get? Hell. I need to call me up and say, oh, Pastor, my marriage is terrible. I don't know why. Can you pray for me? I don't know why God's not. I've been praying, asking God to change that man. I don't know why he's not. Maybe you've been an agent of hell. So, doubt and unbelief in their life? I'm just preaching good word to you today to help you all out. I mean, y'all are really looking, starting to look scary at me now. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. I've got to preach the truth. And we're in such a dire state in the world right now. If I don't preach the truth to y'all, if it doesn't get out over audio and video and people get out there and hear it and get out there, I don't know what's going to happen to the world because nobody's grabbing hold of truth. Nobody's clinging to truth. Everybody prays to God, said, oh, God, help me. But they're just being agents from hell over here. How can he help when you won't resist? Are you all with me? I'm not through, but I feel like I beat y'all up so much. I got to give you something. One last word. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to finish up here. I'm not beating you up. I'm just preaching the word. If you feel beat up, it's the Holy Ghost that did it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Do you know that Jesus died on the cross so that the body of believers could come together and have church or be church? That he died on the cross, the whole time in his heart knew that there'd be a day that he had come and release the Holy Spirit on the face of the earth so that believers could come together and love each other and grow, find out the things of God, be encouraged and blessed, and he'd call it church. That was a thought on his mind when he was dying on the cross. He loves the church. I believe there's churches that are established by God and there's churches that are established by man. The churches that are established by God preach the word, they flourish, they do good works, they rescue widows and orphans, they do what the word tells them to do, and truth is preached. Churches that are established by man are social clubs. Gather together people to appease their conscience and that's it. If you did not get convicted in this church, then I'm not preaching the word. But if I'm preaching the word and the Holy Spirit convicts you, talks to you, tells you things, encourages you, during the middle of worship, God touches your heart, blesses you, then you know what? You're doing good. You're in the right place. Hello? Because we got to hear from heaven. Folks, this is about getting in shape for Jesus. Like I said, you can't go watch a video and then just get you in shape. You got to go to work. It takes work. You got to pump iron. You got to do all kinds of horrible things. Sweat and do poof, to be in shape. Ain't no other way. Takes effort. But everything takes effort. When I was a kid, this is the last one, when I was in high school, I always looked, since I didn't want to do anything in school, I looked for the easiest classes to take. And so I took a typing class. You know, I figured I'd really need that in being a cowboy. And took a typing class, and man, I was just, you know, I guess it wasn't horrible. I mean, like I worked up to like, what is it, 10 words a minute or something like that, you know? You know, I was hanging in there trying to do it. But these old typewriters, those old manuals, you know, I got one of those old manuals. I didn't get no electric typewriter. And, you know, shortly the typing teacher came to me and said, you know, what are you doing? You know, you don't seem to have any capacity to do this, and why? And, you know, so anyway, one thing led to another. And so I never learned to type. Nowadays, with computers and stuff like this, you know, it's amazing how much I need that skill. And he told me then, Robert, you never need that. Why are you taking typing? You'll never need that. That's a long story of the thing. I left the typing class, went in there and started developing photos for him because he also did the annual yearbook, but we got to horsing around and broke a 5-gallon bottle of Fix, and I got thrown out of everything and had to go to home economics with all the girls. And that was the best class I ever took in my life. But I've thought about that so many times. When I sit down and I thought, that man, because he didn't see the future. You see, he didn't see the future. He had no idea we'd go to the things and the electronics that we had today. He didn't see the future, and he told me. He said, "What? You'll never need it." And had I, you know, just my life would have been as a rancher, and I'd have never gotten saved and never gone to pastoring, and I guess I would use less. And, you know, you can type with your thumbs and, you know, slow, but whatever. But I never learned it. And I can't today sit down on a typewriter. All I can ever remember is ASDF, but that's only one hand. I can't remember what the other one is. Are y'all with me? I didn't prepare for the future. I horsed around and did not take the class and did not learn it. And I did not prepare for the future, and it's hindered me. Well, the same thing in your own Christian walk. If you have not prepared for Christianity and living for God and fighting the enemy and resisting the devil, and you've not prepared yourself, well, then you're going to find yourself in a fight. And when you're in that fight, I mean, you're over here just going ASDF, 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 because that's all you knew. That's the only prayer you got. It's the ASDF prayer, you know? That's all you learned, as far as you got. We're all in training. Right? We're in training. We're in learning. You've got to have time set aside to read your Bible. You've got to have time set aside to pray. You've got to have time to have a relationship with Jesus. You've got to set it aside. There is no excuse. You're not going to make it through life typing with one hand. I'm not going to do it. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, I don't think you're really an agent from hell. Some of you are like, yeah, right. I'm not going to say that, Pastor, because I'd be lying. Oh, God help us. Amen? Stand to your feet, please. I think the only thing that we can do right now in order to leave this service and feel good is to take just a moment and just let's pray and let's just repent for all the times that we've been agents of hell. Can I have an amen? Because we all have been, we all have done it. And so let's just look into our hearts right now. Let's just ask God to forgive us. And then we're going to take this knowledge we've got today and we're going to apply it into our lives so we can walk in victory. Amen? Father, right now in Jesus' name, we just come before you. And Lord, I just thank you for the word that's been spoken today. I thank you for it going out and hitting our ears and hitting our hearts. And Lord, we do not want to be agents of hell. Lord, we want to be agents of heaven. We want to be advancing the kingdom of God on the face of this earth. And Lord, a lot of times we've just learned wrong and we've allowed the enemy to sow seeds in our minds. And we've lied to ourselves and we've lied to others and we've even tried lying to you. And for all that, Lord, we repent right now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the times that we've let things come out of our mouth that wasn't right. Lord, we just ask you to forgive us. That by the power of your Holy Spirit to cleanse us, to change us. Lord, today let the eyes of understanding be enlightened. Let us know the hope of the calling and to be able to come to a full awareness of who we are and what you've called us to be, Lord. That here at Living Waters Church that we can be everything you've called us to be, that we can reach this area for you and around this world for you, Lord. That the gifts and the promises that are within each and every one of our lives will not be hindered and stumbled, Lord God, because of what we say and the fear that we would walk in. Lord, I pray for all those Christian brothers and sisters who have been being the ones throwing obstacles and logs in front of us that are trying to go forward. I just pray for them that they'd come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. And that, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would just continue to open our eyes and continue just to show us who, Lord, just show us everything that we're to be doing. So, Lord, I just pray over everyone right now. I just declare, Lord, right now that we're going to go out into this world. We're going to go out into this world and we're going to be the men and women of God that we're to be. That this week we're going to run across people and we're going to encourage them. We're going to speak good over their lives. We're going to bless them, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I praise you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, do something right here before you leave. Grab that person's hand right beside you. Grab their shoulder right there and look at them and say, you're going to make it. Come on. Look at the person. Look at them and say, you're going to make it. Look around at somebody around you and say, you're going to make it. Amen? Amen. Now, can I have the prayer team come down? If you're here today and you're going to prayer team, or if you're here today and you need prayer, listen, we're here for you. We want to pray with you. I want you just to go out and to be blessed, to be encouraged, to be strengthened. But if you need prayer down here today, we're here for you. So come on down. God bless you. Go out there and get them.